Well, we're out in the marketplace again, as we frequently are, for the broadcast spotlighting Feed My Sheep Ministries in the city of Fresno. We're in an eating establishment right now, but Bruce Hood said he's not interested in eating at the moment.
Not right now. I'll have me a bite a little bit later, but at the time, I don't want to get sleepy.
All the blood rushes to your stomach, and you get tired. Now, I ate while I was waiting for you because, well, it was conveniently located where I had the appointment across the street. I came over here and had some lunch while I waited for a Hood named Bruce.
Well, you can probably get away with eating right now, but for me, I still got a lot of hours to put in. If I eat right now, I won't get nothing done.
I put in 4 hours at the Big House, the cancer center, and I had my second round of chemotherapy. Hey, you know, if it's okay to talk about me to begin with, this is an answer to prayer for those that have been praying about that whole thing. I had my first round of chemo 3 weeks ago. My numbers, which should be very low a month ago, were very high. Well, after the first round of chemo, blood test this week showed that the numbers are down by almost 80%.
And this is a good opportunity to say praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. An answer to prayer. I was pleased to hear that. My doctor was very pleased to hear that. So they pumped me full of chemo and all kinds of other good stuff today. The other good news is, except for a couple of weary days after the first round, I wouldn't even know I was on chemotherapy. I've still got all my hair, and I feel pretty darn normal. So praise God.
And that's good, Ken, because I've ran into so many people that just have all kind of after problems that they occur.
Yeah, lots of side effects, but thankfully so far with me, I mean, I'm only on round number two, but so far so good. I appreciate the prayers. Keep them up, and of course we'll have the full prayer request list at the end of the program. Well, what's stirring in you this week? You usually have something on your heart?
Well, yeah, you're right. I usually do have something on my heart, and it's just all the time, a lot of ministry work. You know, been really battling a battle with Chucky all week. Sunday, or rather Saturday, got a call from his mother, and the mother stated to me that Chucky was at a point where the doctor said that better call all the family if anybody wants to see him. It's just a matter of time before he's not with us anymore.
If I can just stop there for just a moment. Chucky, for those who don't know, he was a gentleman who, 3 or 4 summers ago, lived at the Villa Margarita apartment complex in central Fresno. He went to the manager and said, hey, you know, we got trouble in this apartment complex. We need to have the influence of Feed My Sheep Ministries and the Kingdom of God in here. And that's the foothold that enabled Feed My Sheep to get into Villa Margarita. Chucky was the one with that. Well, since that time, he's had a very rough road of diabetes and one leg amputated. Is that correct?
Two legs amputated.
Two legs. Oh, my.
Yeah, so, but, you know, great things has happened out of Villa Margarita. This Wednesday night, there was probably 23 children. They've got a women's ministry started out there. Early morning prayer and devotions meeting, and now with the children, getting a lot of teenagers, that whole apartment is just coming alive.
Is it that same upstairs apartment?
Same upstairs apartment.
Okay.
We had to move all the bicycles. We had the bicycle repair in there, and in one of the rooms had it stacked with bicycles. We had to move all those out so that we could make room to have Bible studies.
Wow.
And so we got two bedrooms built up and the living room with Bible studies.
That's a good problem to have.
Yes, it is, yeah. And so Chucky is the man that God used to go before us so the door would open up. And that's been, Ken, it's probably been 5 years ago, I would imagine. But anyway, it's just tons of people out there just getting to know who Jesus is and walking with God. In church, living right now, and trying to do the very best they can to serve God.
So as of last weekend, things were looking very dire for Chucky, and the doctor said, if you want to say your goodbyes, now is the time. Well, what's transpired since then?
Well, so what happened is his mother called me she began to call all the relatives from out of town. People start flying in on the planes, and the doctor plainly told us that, you know, everything shut down in his body, his kidney's not functioning. He's got some kind of infection in his kidney, and it was moving all through the body up to the brain. His heart had gotten so weak that he was just, they just said it was just a matter of time. Well, him and myself and his mother, we heard what the doctor said, but we still said, and we believed that as long as there's breath, there's hope. And we took it to prayer, and we start calling other people to pray. And Ken, the doctor, called us the next morning, called his mother. Mother called me, and she said, the doctor says it's a complete miracle taking place. He said he don't understand it. He said the kidney is working, it's functioning. They said the infection is going away. And then the next day they released Chucky from the hospital and sent him home.
2 days after they said, come and say your goodbyes, he's out of the hospital.
2 days, yeah. And the doctor really meant it when he said to call anyone that loves Chucky and knows Chucky, wow, call the relatives and tell them to come right now, wow, because it could happen at any time.
Wow.
They said he could go in the next 2 hours. It could go tonight, tomorrow. And then the next day, after we went to prayer, things changed and turned around.
Changed to the point that he was at death's door on Saturday, healed on Sunday, and out of the hospital on Monday.
And that's what prayer does.
Wow.
It grabs God's attention, and God's hand begins to work. But in those things that look impossible to us. And to tell you the truth, I had already almost had just given up to listen to what the doctor was saying.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was just, I'm praying, you know, for God's will. You know, thinking that Chucky's is gonna be leaving.
He was ready to go to his eternal home, but yeah, we're only flesh and blood. And so some folks might be wondering, Bruce, okay, you prayed, Chucky's mom prayed, obviously a lot of other folks prayed that you both contacted. Is there something special about your prayers? Do you do it in such a way that you seem to get the ear of God that maybe somebody else doesn't? What, or is it just, I don't know.
Well, you know, I think, Ken, it was a combination of a lot of people praying. It wasn't just me praying. It wasn't just his mother praying. But it was a combination of a lot of people that was praying. And like I said, I knew that, you know, as long as Chucky was alive, that there was still hope. But in the back of my mind, I thought we was going to be having another funeral. And, you know, and I got to witness God's a miracle working power overnight.
Wow.
And I do believe there was a combination of a lot of people praying. And you know, this is a great testimony for us, because one of the things that we've converted to here on the radio broadcast is prayer.
Yeah.
And the more we pray, the more God is just doing things and doing miracles, causing things to happen that we can't even believe.
Wow.
And so yes, it was prayer, and it's because people everywhere were praying for Chucky.
What a witness that is to the doctors and to others who were attending to Chucky. They were ready to say goodbye to him, and 24 hours later, there he is, and 48 hours later, he went home here on the earth.
Amen. Yeah, so.
When you talked about the chorus of prayers going up and all of the various number of people involved, I was reminded of a scene from the movie Bruce Almighty. That was a movie a few years back that starred Jim Carrey and Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman essentially played God in the movie. And he allowed Jim Carrey to basically live the life of God for a day or two. I forget the time period. But Jim Carrey, as he's walking along minding his own business, he's hearing this roar coming from people praying, asking for help, asking for healing, asking for deliverance. And it's like, thank God that he's big enough to hear the prayers of millions and millions and millions of voices.
Amen. You know, Ken, and Chucky's not out of the woods yet. you know, there's still some symptoms that are still kind of there. But what happened is the kidney started back to working and the infection began to go away. And so with that, you know, his heart rate increased and the other thing. But there's Chucky's not out of the woods, nowhere out of the woods. And so we want to remind those listeners to continue to pray for Chucky. And, you know, we can just say also that that God had some of those listeners' prayers bottled up.
Yeah.
And so there's people on this listening on the radio has heard Chucky's name over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And we believe that because some of you were praying that God bottled your prayer up.
Yeah.
Right at that time when Chucky needed your prayer. And the power of God was released upon Chucky's life to revive his life. And he's alive and still with us today because of that.
Of course, like Bruce said, Chucky's not out of the woods yet. With when you're diabetic and you've had both of your legs amputated, you can imagine there are just all kinds of issues. But keep on praying for Chucky. Just keep lifting that up. If you don't know how to pray, then just pray from your heart. It's not the fanciness of the words that God cares about. It's the sincerity of the heart.
You know, being that we on that thought of prayer, why don't we just go ahead and mention all those prayer requests that we have?
You're going to shake up the order of the program, Bruce?
Well, hey, man, we don't have no system.
You're right. There is no script. We just do it as God leads.
We just kind of go with the flow.
All right, let's do it. Who's on the prayer list this week?
There's a young man named Marcus, and Marcus is one of our soldier boys, and he has cancer, and I hear this is his second bout fighting cancer. So obviously it must have went away at one time, and supposedly it's came back. So pray for Marcus. Josiah, here's a little young baby girl that has a cancer in one of her eyes. And, you know, so we asking that people would pray for Josiah, little baby girl that has cancer in her eye. And Ken, there was a report on the that came out on the news about a family out of Visalia, and this family has there's nine people that's in this family that have a cancer. The woman Katie, and it appears that she has eight brothers and sisters that have all pretty serious cancer conditions. You know, just think about that. I mean, that's a whole family.
I can't conceive of it. I mean, I'm one person who's been dealing with it for over 10 years. That's exhausting enough, but I can't imagine nine people battling it simultaneously.
Well, I mean, that's a bigger problem than any of us have ever faced.
I got that right.
You know, and it's always true. You know, sometimes we look at our problems and, you know, we say, oh, me, you know, oh, my. And then we look to the right or left of us, and there's someone else with a problem probably three times as big as our problem.
I love the proverb. I felt sorry for myself because I had no shoes until I saw the man that had no feet.
Yeah, amen. And that's a true fact. So this family definitely needs our prayer. And, you know, speaking to all of you listeners, If we made a difference in Chucky's life, we can make a difference in this family of nine.
Yeah.
Your prayer is powerful and effective, and it's your prayer that can get God's attention to turn things around for this family with nine people that has cancer. And that's a lot of family members, you know, to have a problem from all at once, Ken.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be in that family or have those problems that family has. See, and so pray for that family out of Visalia. There's a Pat is a diabetic. She's had a double leg amputation. Yeah, both legs have been amputated, and she fell and broke her hip. And just thinking about it, you know, it reminds me of Chucky, you know, with both legs, and it seemed like after Chucky had both his legs amputated, and then just problems start mounting up one after the next.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It never have ceased for Chucky.
Yeah.
So someone prayed for Pat. And then there's Mary that has a breathing problem, and she's being treated for a blockage. So pray for Mary. Alyssa has been in the hospital for 3 weeks, and she's pregnant with twins that are not due until May. So pray for Alyssa. And our friend Charlotte has a case of brittle bones. Charlotte is another one that's been a real, real prayer warrior, not only for me, but for all those names that we mentioned. And she's the one that'll stand in the gap, like Moses, and pray for those people.
Yeah, yeah.
So she needs our prayer at this time. So just throwing out a word to all those listeners, please pray for Charlotte. She has brittle bones, and she needs our prayer.
So it was actually about half of the prayer requests that Bruce had there. Charlotte had texted to me on my phone. I don't know if she goes out looking for prayer requests or if she just happens across people in church or in public, but and I don't hear from her every week, but this week she sent me 4 prayer requests. She's very serious about getting those prayer requests out on the air, so there you go, Charlotte, and pray for Charlotte as well.
And then there's one more, Ken, I almost forgot. There's a woman, Adelia, that had me go to the hospital some time back and pray for someone that was on life support. And then that person went home to be with the Lord. I believe it was a sister or someone relative to her. But I just got a call from her, and I got to be making a trip up to Community Hospital. She has a brother that's very, very ill, and she was asking that we pray for her brother. So it's Delia, and I don't have a brother's name.
God knows his name.
Yeah, he does. So pray for Delia's brother and Delia's family. She's been having an awful time with serious illnesses within her family here lately.
At the beginning of the program, you mentioned you got the call last Saturday about Chucky. If you want to see Chucky, he's going to be checking out of this life soon. And again, by Sunday, he was pretty much healed, and Monday released from the hospital. Saturday, the day you got the call, that was also the day you did the funeral for the situation that was in the news a few weeks back, where a policeman was called out to a domestic disturbance. A man was on methamphetamine. I guess he wrestled with a policeman, was in the process of withdrawing the policeman's gun, obviously to use it on him. The man's sister pushed the man off of the police officer. The police officer then recovered and shot and killed the man. And you had that man's funeral last Saturday at your church.
We had a funeral at my church. It was a great, great funeral. I got to share a message out of the book of Corinthians. People's heart opened up. Lots of hands went up to receive Christ as Savior. And the family left there with hope. And I felt good because I knew that I had did what God told me to do. And to warn the people about life and death, and to know that there's life after death.
Yeah.
And to rest assured that Jesus Christ himself is going to raise the dead.
There's only one way, and that's through him. The reason you ended up doing the funeral out at your church, Bruce, is after the incident where the man was shot and killed, after the sister essentially saved the policeman's life, you reached out to the family and started ministering to them in obviously a time of terrible grief. Now, the family, I guess, started attending your church, and last I heard, you were kind of the go-between between a possible meeting between the sister and the police officer who wanted to thank her for saving his life. Had that happened yet?
We had that meeting. The funeral was on Saturday, and Monday we had the meeting. The police officer, myself, the senior chaplain from the police department, and the sister of the deceased man, we all met there at Denny's. And they hugged one another and just let out words of being sorry. The woman just she held no bitterness at all. The police officer was just so kind and gentle about it. It was just man, I never seen nothing like it before. You know, and that's unusual. You never have a police officer to meet like that with family after there's a shooting.
Or if you did have a police officer like that, most families would say, me, meet with him?
Yeah, exactly. And so, but, it you know, God just turned it all around. And the beautiful thing, you know, that God did is opened up a lot of the heart of the family to know Jesus as Savior. And I left after the funeral, and then after the meeting, I just, you know, it was like, man, I feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel good. I just thanking God for the opportunity to be a mediator, and to be a spokesman for Him at this great time.
When you walk out of a situation like that where you know God has showed up so hugely, you walk out about 3 feet off the ground. You know, you were on the ground when you went in, but you were off the ground when you came out. And what you just described, more answer to prayer, because we asked last week on the program for you to pray for the funeral service, and you said a lot of hands went up. There's an answer to prayer. We asked you to pray for the meeting between the policeman and the sister of the man. There, again, is an answer to prayer. So, I don't know, there's something going on here, Bruce.
Sounds like to me we need to keep on praying, brother. Yeah, prayer is the key. That's how we're going to get God's work done, is through a lot of prayer.
And again, those folks who maybe don't have an idea, they picture maybe Martin Luther before he came to the revelation that we're saved by grace and not solely by our works. He would get out and sprawl himself in the snow and freezing temperatures and think he had to torture and torment himself. Prayer, it can be as simple as you talking to God. You talk to God, what's on your heart. He already knows what's in your heart anyway. And then occasionally, just be still and listen and have a two-way conversation. Let Him speak to you as well.
Amen. That's, if we let Him, He'll speak.
Say, there's a song by a group called Out of the Gray, contemporary Christian song from a number of years ago, and the title is, God is not silent, we are not listening.
Amen. Yeah.
So, well, okay, we have the prayers for the individuals. What about Bruce Hood or his family or the ministry of Feed My Sheep? Any prayer concerns there?
Always, Ken. You know, we always have trouble. It always comes from the left, from the right, from the front to the back. But I've learned to be still in the middle of the storm and wait for God to calm the wind down. And so that's come over a time of growing. Probably 10 years ago, I wouldn't be able to stand still like I am today. But, you know, God has brought me to that place. And I'm not saying I'm a super Christian, but I've learned how to withstand some of the winds.
You're not where you're going to be, but you're not where you used to be.
Yeah, exactly. But we moving right along all the time, Ken. Right now, at this very moment, you and I are talking. We're preparing for our food distribution, and so we got trailers of food coming into the church right now. Tables all set up. People all behind those tables setting up the food and preparing it for the community to come in and take home bags of groceries. Yeah, so.
That's every Friday afternoon, pretty much. You do it, what, about 5 o'clock?
About 5 o'clock, yeah, we usually get started.
I think you mentioned that on an average Friday, again, the Feed My Sheep Church, Lemon and Plumas in West Fresno, very low-income area, in the middle of gang territory. Almost every block is a different gang, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's probably about 6 different gangs in that neighborhood. And these are gangs over there are probably some of the most scariest gangs that you can be around. You know, they're very, very ruthless.
But for some odd reason, in all the years you've been there at Lemon and Plumas, they leave you folks alone.
Oh, they never bother us. We just do our work for God, and they do their work, whatever they're doing. Yeah.
You don't represent any threat to their territory.
Not at all. So
at least not in the visible realm.
Not in the visible realm. That's correct. Yeah, so the food distribution, it brings the whole community over to our church. And we're getting to be friends with the people in the community a little at a time. And a lot of people that we didn't know, we know them now. And we always get something said like, you know, I want to come to church. I've been wanting to come. I just, you know, this happened or that happened. I wasn't able to come. But we get that voice all the time from different folks. And then every so often we have someone show up, you know, and some of them come and they stay, and then some of them they go back and.
Oh, like an average church.
Yeah. So, but we having a good time over there, Ken, meeting with the community and ministering to the community, and just telling them all about the Lord Jesus Christ.
And you say minister to the community. That's not an exaggeration. I think you said on an average Friday you get at least 100 families that come for food?
There's usually about 125.
125, so then do the multiplication. Each family has at least two, if not three, if not four members, if not more. So we're talking, I don't know, potentially up 400, 500, 600 people being blessed by that food outreach.
Yeah, and that's great, you know. To be able to have food to feed people. You know, I thank God that God has opened the doors where we can have that food like that.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, without God opening that door for us to have that food, we couldn't be able to do what we do.
There you go.
And so, yeah.
Well, you've heard just a sample of what Feed My Sheep Ministries does every day of every year. And we're out of time for this week, unbelievably, Bruce Hood. Let me give you the phone number where you can reach Bruce Hood if you've got a prayer request for yourself or for someone else, if you've got a question about what the ministry does, if you'd like to donate your time, your talents, or even finances. The gospel is absolutely free, but, of course, it costs money to keep the electricity on with PG&E. They are a 501c nonprofit ministry. Bruce Hood, reachable in the 559 area code at 978-5469. 978-5469. That was a bit different. We just kind of went right through it today, didn't we?
We went right through it, Ken, but it was all from God. Like you said, we don't have a script.
Right.
We just start and take off, and God leads the way.
Every single week before I turn on the recorder, Bruce prays that God shows up and puts the words in our mouth. That's why it happens that way. God bless you, sir. Continued protection and wisdom, and no weapon formed against you or your family shall prosper.
Thank you. I received that word.
And thank you, listener, for joining us for this week's edition of the broadcast from Feed My Sheep Ministries of Fresno.